Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's meditation is from Solomon's words to his son in Proverbs 7, 1-3. You may be seated. My son, pay attention to my words. Treasure my commands that are within you. Obey my commands so that you may live. Follow my teachings just as you protect the apple of your eye. Tie them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. One of my very favorite stories about fatherhood comes from a professor at a Christian university. But you first might keep in mind a very important component of this story. Bob is bald. Anyway, Bob decided to take his wife out to dinner one night, so, of course, good husband that he is, he hired a babysitter to take care of their two children. But while they were gone, the sitter got a little bit too interested in the TV program rather than paying attention to the kids. And as it happened, 5-year-old Peter Andrew had gotten into his dad's electric shaver kit and shaved a big, wide landing strip directly down the middle of the top of his head. When Bob got home, he was furious. He said, "Peter Andrew, I told you never to play with my shaver. Now you're going to get a spanking you won't soon forget." But just as he was about to administer that first whack, Peter Andrew blurted out, "Where do you see sister?" Horrified at the warning, Bob and his wife ran into their 4-year-old daughter's room to discover a little daughter who looked like a skinned rabbit, with every strand of her blonde hair shaved off her skull. By this time, Bob was livid. He grabbed Peter Andrew and said, "Now you're really going to get it." But just as he started to bring his hand down, Peter Andrew looked up with his tear-soaked eyes, water running down his cheeks, and he said, "But Daddy, sister and I were only trying to look just like you." You should know that Peter Andrew got no spanking. Just a thorough explanation and a hug. Either because he was the fastest thinking 5-year-old con artist ever, or he simply was demonstrating a very profound truth about little children. They want to be like their daddy. Either way, Bob henceforth began referring to his kids as his little shavers. Sometimes, though, we're too close to actually recognize it, but many of our little shavers do share certain physiological characteristics that make them resemble their papa. Hence the familiar comment, "Oh, I see, he has his father's eyes." The question this morning is Father's Day, do you have your father's eyes? No, not your earthly father's eyes, but your heavenly father's eyes. In other words, do you look at the world around you with the same kind of vision for it that our heavenly father does, that he has for it? To be honest, as with certain mothers, so also some fathers have a totally different vision in their eyes from that of our Father who art in heaven. And that can make a holiday like this one, awkward or painful, and in fact one that many of us would rather avoid. Worse yet, the failures of earthly fathers can often skew our view of the heavenly Father. Admittedly, now every Christian, including every Christian father, regularly fails to be that paternal spiritual head of the household that God has called them to be here on this earth as sinners. Then again, the position of perfect father, you have to be reminded, it's already filled. The famous hymn is quite correct. No matter what happens, this is our Father's world. So when the Heavenly Father sent his only Son into this world, Jesus himself said that he sent him to save it, not to condemn it. Nor should we spend Father's Day condemning fathers. Instead, we're here today to acknowledge and accept both failed fathers and fabulous fathers, just as our Heavenly Father does with all the rest of us, combined sinners and saints at the same time. And why? Because God's children not only have their Father's eyes, they also are the apple of his eye, just as precious to him as our eyes are to us. And that means we all need to treasure our Heavenly Father's words of grace and then share that same vision, not just with our own family, but also with the rest of the world, a world that needs to realize that our Father just isn't only in heaven, but he also is here among us, working every day through spiritually empowered, sinful but forgiven men of God called fathers, who truly are willing to teach God's saving word to their children. Like it says in Deuteronomy, talk about the good news of salvation and Messiah when they're at home, when they're away, when they lie down, when they get up. And even when not literally writing God's teachings on the door frames of their houses and their gates, but still managing to write them on the tablet of their children's hearts. So then, do you want to be just like your daddy, your Father in heaven? Well, then we first need to be clear about what our Heavenly Father is really like. First of all, he's a Father that we don't have to be afraid of. You know, I think if this were Hawaii, the Hawaii of several hundred years ago, I suspect some of those earliest inhabitants would be right about now tossing native princesses into the volcano as sacrifices to try to stop the erratic eruptions and destructive lava flows caused by the wrath of their volcano god. Well, some people come from family backgrounds where their fathers seem to generate the same magnitude of smoke, sound, and fury, and there was no appeasing these fathers either. Consequently, some people's view of the one we refer to as the first person of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, the Heavenly Father, has become a bit distorted or infected by fear. In fact, even though the ancient Jews certainly used the term Father as one of the ways to describe the one true God, they still saw him as a distant God, a God to be dreaded for his wrath at any moment. Martin Luther once summed it up this way: God would be a consuming fire of wrath if the Heavenly Father had not sent his Son. But God did send his Son, Jesus, the only begotten Son, who really does have his Father's eyes. The Savior changed everything then about our family relationships. By going to the cross, by taking upon himself the wrath of God for us, once and for all, the fear of the law no longer holds any power over us. Oh, I mean, we still have a Father who disciplines his children, but in love, and no longer punishes them in revenge, because Christ took that punishment for us to Calvary's cross. And now in our baptism, the Heavenly Father has called us each by name. We are his, adopted into his forever family. Unlike the Jews of the Exodus, standing behind the barrier at the foot of Mount Sinai, trembling in fear of the very sound of God's presence, we now have a direct invitation into his presence. In fact, you recall that when his disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he began not with a formal word in Hebrew 4:5, but rather with something previously unheard of by Jews. He used the Aramaic word, Abba, Father, meaning literally, dear daddy. And so our Father is a Father we need never, ever be afraid of. Secondly, he's a Father who will never abandon us. You know, there's a scene in one of my very favorite movies of all time, Dr. Zhivago, where Comrade General The Comrade General was talking to Tanya. He asked her, "How did you come to be lost?" She replies, "Well, I was just lost." He asked again, "No, how did you come to be lost?" But Tanya doesn't want to say, and she simply replies, "I was just lost. My father and I were running through the city, and it was on fire. The revolution had come, and we were trying to escape, and I was lost." The Comrade General asked more emphatically, "But how did you come to be lost?" She still didn't want to say, but finally she did say, "We were running through the city, and my father let go of my hand, and I was lost." And then she added, emotionally, "He let go." This is what she didn't want to say. The Comrade General responded, "This is what I've been trying to tell you, Tanya. Kamarov wasn't your real father. Zhivago is your real father. And he would never have let go of your hand." We live in a society where the statistics for men fathering children and then abandoning them to the mother or grandparents is pretty much out of control. Is it any wonder the term father is so meaningless or even offensive to many people? But a real father would never, never let go of his child's hand. And that's also the difference between our Heavenly Father and all of us earthly fathers who often do fail our children. But the promise of the Heavenly Father time and time again in Scripture is that, quote, "He will never leave us or forsake us." Never. Real fathers don't desert their children, and real Christian fathers don't spiritually let go of their child's hand until the day that they're safely with them in heaven. And thirdly, our Heavenly Father is a father who wants to be a constant part of the daily lives of his children. I think one of the greatest concerns of educators and child behavioral scientists is the mere modicum of time that dads tend to spend with their children, often due to video games and the internet. And whether it be the quantity or the quality of time. And yet we know that a father can make a significant difference if he's willing to make the time, and especially in a child's spiritual development. The statistics are about a decade old, but I bet they haven't changed much. I once read that American students rank no higher than 10th out of 20 in the industrialized third world nations when it came to math achievement. Japan was number one. Why? Well, American students spent 180 days a year in school, while Japanese students spent 240 days, and had the basic knowledge, in fact, of the average American college graduate when they graduated from high school. But here's the kicker. The Japanese were so fanatical about education that when a child was sick and has to stay home, one of the parents often will show up at school in his place and take notes for him. That is parental involvement. Now, I'm not implying that Heavenly Father is Japanese, but, you know, he's been taking note of what's happened in the lives of his children ever since way back in the Garden of Eden, and he's never wavered in his dedication to be a constant part of the decisions that his children make, even their rebellious decisions, which is why he sent his only begotten Son into the world in the first place. Our Heavenly Father is not a distant dad. In fact, he's proactive. He even promises to answer our prayers while we're still formulating them. But most of all, he also chooses to use fallible fathers to accomplish his will by placing them into the lives of families who need to see the eyes of the Heavenly Father reflected in the eyes of their earthly father. Just a little bit more often each day. You remember Philip's request in this morning's gospel lesson and Jesus' response? Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? It is the Father living in me who is doing his work. As the second person of the Godhead, Christ certainly was one with the Father. But he was saying even more than that. Jesus was saying it should be evident to all, and after 3 years of ministry, especially to his disciples, that the will of the Heavenly Father and the work of his Son were one and the same. Each reflected the other in everything. But why should that surprise Philip or anybody else? Sons want to be like their dads, until, of course, we give them reason not to. And so also Christian fathers here on earth also have a deep desire to be like their Father in heaven, in word and in deed. And you can see it in their eyes. But dads, don't despair on this Father's Day. If you're not that perfect father that the Hallmark cards make you out to be. As I said before, that job's already filled in heaven. But if you're despairing over your failure to fully follow the example of your Father in heaven, remember that he is also with you here and now to calm your fears, to take a firm hold of your hand, and to help you become as involved in your family's life as he is every day in yours. May God grant this in our Savior's name. Happy Father's Day. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.